Good evening, everyone. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the December 29th, 2022, meeting of the PMB. It is 8:36 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe we have quorum. Is Aki Tanaka on the call? I thought I saw him before. Aki, would you be willing to be the recording secretary this evening?
Sure.
And would you therefore like to take the roll call?
Okay, here we go. So, Teresa Allen?
Present.
Jim Dingman?
Here.
Jim is here. Vanessa Dixon? Okay, Vanessa is here. Is Bill also on?
No, so we're not seating the, we don't seat the affiliate representative, the new affiliate representative directors till the January meeting.
Okay, so Bert Cohen here? Okay. Sue Goodwin?
Present.
Sue is here. Heather Gray?
Here.
Heather is here. Donna Grimes?
Here.
Donna is here. Jerry Hewitt?
Here.
Jerry is here. Lydia Jones?
Present.
Louisa. Ida Luxa?
Here.
Okay. Maria Martinez?
Present.
Okay. Maria is here. James McCracken?
Here.
James is here. Doreen Pagano?
Here.
Okay. I assume that Rose is still not be in, not here. Sean Rose?
Here.
Sean is here. Jim Sagerton?
Here.
Jim is here. Shalom Salam? Shalom? Okay. Kitanaka is here. Mark?
Mark's on his way.
Okay, he's on the way. Okay, all right.
Mark has arrived. Mark has arrived. Here.
Okay. Mark is alive. Okay. Beth Van Gutten?
Here.
Beth is here. Igreta Wittes?
Here.
What is this? Susan Young?
Here.
Okay. Stephanie Wells?
Stephanie is unlikely to join us this evening.
Okay. And Arthur Schwartz probably won't be on. John Tatum?
Arthur's here now.
Okay, good. Okay. John Tatum?
He also won't be here this evening.
Okay. And Purina?
I'm here.
Okay. So we have 19, so we'll call them. Okay.
All right. So let me go to the next item on the agenda, which is reading the report out from the December 15th meeting. Here it is. The PMB met in closed session to discuss confidential financial, legal, personnel, and disciplinary matters. And the next item up is excused absences. Can I get a motion to excuse those not present this evening?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Mark, for the second. Any objections to the motion to excuse those who are absent this evening? Hearing no objections, those absences are excused. That brings us to identifying timekeepers. Can I get someone willing to be the timekeeper for people?
I'll do it, Julie. This is Heather.
Thank you. And someone to be the timekeeper for items. Agenda
I items. Can do it.
Thank you, Darlene. Okay, then that takes us to agenda approval, which is a 5-minute item, Darlene. Let me run through what's on the agenda quick. After approval, we have approving minutes. After that, I have an update on Lawrence Reyes. After that, a motion to affirm and assert the intent of recent PMB resolutions regarding the 2022 Pacifica elections. After that, I have a motion on recent actions by the KPFK LSB. After that, I have ED and report and Q&A, although she's not present this evening. After, so that was a 20-minute item. After that, I have the general counsel report and Q&A as a 10-minute item. Then I have 1 minute devoted to unfinished business because I think it's we're not prepared for unfinished business. Then item 10 is new business, which we also don't have any listed at the moment. Item 11 is move into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m. Item 12 is a confidential, so this is not revealing much, but a confidential disciplinary matter that's on the closed session agenda. And then item 13 is discussing what can be shared with LSBs in closed session. Item 14 is report out from KPFT, or producing a report out for kpftx.org. 15 is rising and reporting, and 16 is adjourning at a time certain of midnight. And that's
point of personal privilege. Somebody's got their
yes. I think we're getting a little bit of feedback, and it might be James McFadden, who I'm going to recognize now because I think James wants to say something about. Oh, wait a minute. Can I get a motion to move the agenda?
I move to accept the agenda.
Thank you. And Teresa, is that a second from you? Thank you. Okay, so now I recognize James McFadden. Go ahead, James.
I wanted to add to the agenda the motion that I sent to you a couple days ago regarding the use of 2021 runners-up list to fill 2023 vacancies.
I second James's motion to amend the agenda, and we'll just explain by saying I thought that another motion that was that we put on here would dovetail and mean that they were doing the same thing. And so I apologize. They're different motions. And in fact, it turns out they're completely non-overlapping. So, so it's appropriate for both of those items to be on the agenda. So, and I apologize, James, for not, figuring that out sooner to, you know, make sure that yours was also included in the agenda. By the way, everybody, Polina just sent an email around that has the text of the motion that James McFadden is suggesting being added to the agenda. And James, where would you like it to be on the agenda?
I would think it would go right next to the other one that deals with this, which is what's number 5 or?
Yeah. So between 5 and 6.
So yeah, between 5 and 6, you know, it's, if there's no overlap, I'm not sure. I think mine is pretty simple. I don't know. I have still reading, I think, number 5. It might be better to be 4A, but,
Oh, you want to put it between 4 and 6? 4 and 5, I mean?
4 and 5, I think, would be better. It's pretty straightforward. I don't think, you know, I think people don't need a lot of debate on it. They're going to, you have their minds made up one way or another. So.
Okay. So we'll put it between, so the motion to amend is to add that and to add it to be between, what are on your printed agendas as items 4 and 5. And James, can we then call this a 10-minute item?
I think so.
Okay. Any discussion of adding that motion to the agenda, that motion to amend the agenda? Not the motion itself, the motion to amend. Are there any objections to amending the agenda?
Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Ali.
Is this meeting supposed to be streamed? Are people supposed to be able to listen right now?
Well, yes, they are.
Okay, I'm getting some messages that it's not streaming. I don't know.
Apologies. I also got a message, and apparently I put us on the stream on the wrong channel because we had previously streamed coordinating committee and I didn't switch. So now we're on the right channel.
Okay.
Technology. Yeah, it should, now we're streaming correctly.
Okay. Okay. So, we'll post this correctly. You know, we'll use the recording when we post it, but it's 8:46 PM on the East Coast. We called the meeting to order at, I think, 8:36 PM. So folks who are listening to the stream, you haven't missed much. We are on item number 2, which is agenda approval. So basically all the public has missed at this point is some preliminaries.
And time is up for this item.
Oh, thank you. So were there any objections to that? So now let me go back to the, cause Ali Lexa spoke up saying that the stream couldn't hear us. Were there any objections to the motion to amend the agenda? Hearing none, the motion to amend the agenda is approved. Are there, but that's not approving the agenda. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay. So now we're on to item number 3, which is a 5-minute item, Darlene. And this is approving the minutes of December 8th and December 15th. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the meeting minutes for either of those meetings?
Chair.
Ali, go ahead.
Sorry. The stream has music playing on it. They can hear the meeting, but there's also music.
Oh, is that right? Let me check what's going on. Thank you.
And thank you, Ali, for communicating this.
Can we find out what song was playing?
Yeah, I thought whatever anybody says here is music to their ears.
It sounded like a Spanish guitar solo.
Oh, lovely.
Going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Sabikas.
Apologies. I think it was the conference call that was... But, yeah, that I'd forgotten to hang up from. We should be good now. No music, right?
Okay. Oh, so then it was the maestro. It was the lovely maestro.
It was the maestro. Exactly.
It is lovely music. You're right. Okay. Thank you, Ali. So, we're still on approving the minutes of, December 8th and December 15th. Any further discussion of the, minutes from those two meetings?
This is Sharon Salam.
Go ahead, Sharon.
You know, I was on one of the, trying to get in on one of those, I believe it was one of those meetings, so I could put my vote in and I kept getting bumped off the call. And so finally I just couldn't get in.
I do vaguely remember that there was a meeting, Sharon, where we were taking a vote in. It was a meeting that you were present at and I don't believe that we were able to record your vote for that particular vote, but we tried several times to, you know, reach back to you and say, can you vote? But,
well, it just seemed like I was not allowed in. I don't know if it was purposely or whatever, you know, and then I know it's not on the agenda, but I would also like some clarity on how it's going to work, with the people who are, aging off of the LSBs, and because I know at BAI, I know they have decided that their seats will not be replaced, and also I'm not allowed to be on the board there either. But I think you all had a vote stating that I could stay on this board. But it's like some kind of confusion. I just like clarity on that.
I think we will wind up covering that in, or it's not unrelated to, at least one of the motions that's coming up where we could fold that into the discussion there. And by the way, I don't think it was purposeful that, I know it wasn't purposeful on anyone's part that you weren't able to join the meeting to complete your vote. You know, in fact, you'd been in the meeting, you know, basically, as far as I know, up until that point. So, you know, sometimes technology fails.
You can check my information stating that I was trying to get in, and just, I don't know, not able to.
Appreciate you raising that, and we'll see what we can do. Although I'm honestly not sanguine that there's much that I can do. Anyway.
Yeah, no, but you know, I just feel bad because, you know, as a board member, I was not allowed to vote. And
no, Sharon, it's not that you weren't allowed to vote. It's that you weren't, you know, in the meeting in a fully present way that we could hear you or see you, you know, when the vote, and no one got a text from you and so we'll try. If that happens again this evening, I promise you what we'll do is we'll make sure that somebody is identified to try to text you to say what's your vote or, you know, try to get back on. One thing is true that we can't take votes by proxy, right? And so that's the sense in which you have to be able to, you know, come on to the call and voice your vote. And that's true for everybody, right? I mean, that's, at least as long as we're taking a roll call vote. So, we'll do our best. Okay. So
Chair, best I can tell, this 5-minute segment is over.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know.
We didn't approve
the discussion fits.
Yeah. We didn't approve the minutes of, December 8th and December 15th yet. So I was asking for whether there was any discussion of the minutes. And then we went, kind of off on this tangent. Okay. So, hearing no further discussion, are there any objections to approving the minutes of December 8th and December 15th? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Of course, as always, if people come up with, corrections they would later like to make to those minutes, they can be corrected at any time down the road. Okay. Item number 4, is an update on, Lawrence Reyes. So, folks, I don't have a heck of a lot that I can report other than to say that, I don't think Lawrence has gotten any better. You know, it's a grave situation. He's really sick. And I will say, one thing that I did want to share with people. I mean, Michael Novick, who's the interim GM at KPFK, sent around a Zoom link, and I'm saying this for the public as well. He sent it to everyone who's on the PMB. It's a celebration for Lawrence, right? And it's a, you know, kind of, it's an opportunity for people to get together. I would encourage people to go. And I feel a little weird saying this, but I'm just going to say it because in a way it's a little bit how I feel. It seems a little odd, you know, to have a celebration for someone who's gravely ill, you know, and still alive. And yet I think, the point is in this particular instance, it's perfectly appropriate. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, kind of Lawrence here and lots of people say, you know, in the universe saying nice things about him might, you know, kind of, make things better for Lawrence. So, I want to encourage people to attend. And, if you are listening to the stream and you want to attend and you don't have the Zoom invitation, you can either send me an email or send Michael Novick an email and we'll make sure that you get the Zoom links. It's for, Friday, which is tomorrow. I don't remember the exact time off the top of my head, but it's in the evening. So I did want to encourage people to attend and, you know, continue to, send your thoughts and prayers, you know, to Lawrence and his family. So. Any questions before we move on? All right. So that brings us to the item that we said would be a 10-minute item, which is James McFadden's motion. So, folks, you're going to have to look at your email to see the wording of the motion. James, can you go ahead?
Want me to read and motivate?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion is
to use 2021 runners-up list to fill 2023 vacancies, whereas some delegate seats may become vacant in 2023, and whereas Article 4, Delegates Section 10, filling a vacancy specifies if a delegate position becomes vacant mid-term, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of his or her term with the highest-ranked candidate from the last election of delegates for that class of members for that station who is not elected or who is available for that station who is not elected or was available and continues to meet delegate eligibility requirements as set forth in Section 2A and 2B of this article of these bylaws. In the event that no eligible and available candidate from the last election is found, then the delegates for that radio station shall appoint a member of the appropriate class to serve as delegates and fill the seat for the remainder of the term. Be it resolved that all delegate vacancies in 2023 follow the procedure in Article 4, Section 10, using the highest ranked candidate from the 2021 delegate election, and only in the event that list of runners-up is exhausted will the LSB resort to appointment of a member of the appropriate class to serve as delegate for the remainder of the term.
Vanessa seconds.
The motivation is just to provide clarity so that we treat any person who has to leave as a delegate or passes away or whatever in the same manner we would have treated them this last year. We just go to the runners-up list. And we'll continue that procedure.
Can I just ask a question?
Wasn't this a motion we voted on?
Didn't we vote on this motion at the last meeting? Basically the same motion.
No.
No, I don't believe we did. Go ahead, Susan.
And this speaks to what Arthur said. So I believe that this motion is essentially consistent with the sense of the motions we have addressed before, which was to extend term limited, and I realize it's different from, and you're not endorsing it, but extend term limits until there is an election. But what we have not considered is, are we also extending the alternates list through this year, or until there's an election, to be able to fill in for vacancies however they occur? Is that true, James? Is that a fair representation?
That's exactly right.
Thank you. Seems reasonable to me.
I apologize, James. You're right, I'm wrong.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
I apologize. I should have gone on Zoom and raised my hand. I just wanted to say to Arthur that I think this may need some clarifying language because it doesn't specify that we're talking about vacancies that are created from the way that runners-up are usually used, as you did point out, death, resignation, expulsion, et cetera. So, you know, accepting a political, taking a political office, that sort of thing. So could we get a little phrase in there that says something to the effect of other than delegates whose for whom term limits have been postponed, something along those lines, because it just sounds like any vacancy, and then that begs Arthur's question, well, gee, didn't we already do this?
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, let me disagree, Jim, because let's say that we have an extended term, okay? So let's say, I think Sharon said that she is not extended. And so let's say that her term gets extended, but she gets a fabulous job and says, I no longer have time, and resigns. Then the alternate list would kick in for that resignation. It's only a resignation due to term limits, which we have basically voided for the period until there's an election.
Chair, may I come back?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to beg people to alter the language a little bit. We're not extending terms. We haven't voided terms. terms still exist. We're just postponing the operation of term limits. And that's number one. And number two is, could James please reread the language where it separates, again, the people who are resigning or who, you know, pass away, et cetera, from everybody else who we're postponing term limits for? That's to McFadden. Could he please reread that language?
Well, I'll read the resolving clause. It says, be it resolved that all delegate vacancies in 2023 follow the procedure in Article 4, Section 10, using the highest ranked candidate from the 2021 delegate election, and only in the event.
Okay, are we just going to assume that those vacancies he's referring to are ones that come from resignation, death, et cetera, and not ones that some will argue are should be occurring because of term limits?
We could add some
Let me go ahead
and recognize some other people who have their hands up, and maybe we can, you know, figure out some language to add. Ali, your hand, then Beth. Ali?
Yeah, I want to agree with James, just to make sure that the language is perfectly clear, because there's been so much interpretation, manipulation, articulation of what the bylaws and Robert's rules, et cetera, et cetera. So just to make it perfectly clear, I mean, I'm seeing this as basically we're just reiterating that we're going to follow the status quo as far as replacements go moving forward. But there are others that might see this as, oh, they've changed their mind again, and now people that are termed out are gone, and we're going to replace them with these people. So it just needs to be crystal clear what this is.
Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I'm kind of echoing the same concern. Perhaps it would help to add the word individual in that the first resolving, the line of the first line of the resolving clause, be it resolved that all individual delegate vacancies in 2023, individual midterm. How about individual midterm delegate vacancies? So, I offer that so that we can distinguish between the sorts of routine replacements that our bylaws use this for, stipulate this for, and the way I feel it's been misused to replace three delegates who were removed in defiance of recent PNV resolutions and replaced en masse by three runners-up.
Thanks, Beth.
I would offer an amendment, three individual be it resolved that all individual mid-term, I'm writing in.
Can I just butt in here since it's my, make a point of information that might clarify this?
Go ahead.
If we added, I mean, what, this is supposed to be just for people who die, who are no longer eligible as delegates or, you know, or who resign. It really is for those conditions. And I'm happy just putting in those conditions so that it, cause I was trying to avoid this whole issue of the word terms just cause I thought it would create a lot of confusion. So if we would maybe just to have all the delegate vacancies due to death, resignation, you know, whatever the things in the bylaws that make you, you know, that causes your seat to be vacant. You could just stick them in at that point. I was trying to make it simple.
So hang on.
Sharon to the stat.
Okay, Sharon, you are after Darlene. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, what James McFadden just suggested is adding, you know, reasons A through E in Article 4, Delegates, Section 9, Removal of Delegates. So it's, you know, paragraphs A through E, capital A through E, that articulate the five reasons that, you know, someone disappears as a delegate, death or resignation, et cetera.
I second that amendment.
Oh.
Chair, we are at 10 minutes.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to need a motion to extend. I see five people on the stack.
Motion to extend to exhaust the stack.
Okay, so the people on the stack. Well, Beth's hand is up, but I think she already spoke. Aki, Jim McFadden, Darlene, and Sharon. Are there any objections? Oh, thank you for seconding, Sharon. Are there any objections to the motion to extend, to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Aki's next.
But point of order?
Yeah.
We have a motion to amend, and it's been seconded.
Yes.
So
we have to deal with the motion to amend.
To amend.
Okay. So that's what people have to speak to. And then we can come back to the stack. So the point is, the motion to amend is to add, I believe, reasons, Article 4 delegates, Section 9, removal of delegates, paragraphs A to E. We could do that in parentheses after, or not in parentheses, all delegate vacancies as articulated in Article 4, Section 9, removal of delegates, paragraphs A to E in the resolving clause. Okay. Are there any objections to that motion to amend? Hearing none, James's motion is amended. Okay, now we're back to the stack. Darlene, go ahead.
I see that it's all about delegates. So
yes.
We're not saying this would apply to directors.
I believe that is correct. There is similar text in the director section of the bylaws. I mean, you know, those same reasons apply to directors as well, but somebody would have to do one of those things, right, to be a director, to be replaced. But I don't know that, what we didn't do, and this kind of does get back to something that Sharon mentioned a few minutes ago. What we decided to do was postpone the operation of the term limits on delegate seats. We did not take anybody who's currently a director. There are some people who are currently a director, myself included, who but for that postponing the operation of term limits would not be here after January. But nonetheless, people who are directors have to be elected, re-elected by their, just because you got extended as a delegate at your LSB doesn't mean you're automatically continued on as a director. No, your LSB has to vote in January to elect the directors who represent their station. And so nobody is continued as a director. They're only continued as a delegate, as it were. So I wanted to be very clear about that, just lest there be any, you know, misconception out there. People have to be elected again to be directors, right? So, okay. Did that answer your question, Darlene?
Yes.
Got it. Aki, you had your hand up.
Sure. One thing is that there's still some sort of a, you know, contention about what is the end of the term means. So when you pass this motion, since the issue of term, ending the term is still in contention, then you will say that people who are termed out will then follow under this, you know, motion. The other thing is that it's only, you know, when the term is extended to the next election, by default, those people whose, you know, term has been extended, when they leave the position, is already midterm. So the motion is sort of, you know, not necessary. It's sort of like stating what is already, as you know, is understood as somebody whose term is extended would be filled by a runner-up. But because of the fact that there is the, you know, contention about whether the term out person is going to be termed out or not, this one, you know, sort of like puts the, you know, put the question back in again about whether they could be replaced by a runner-up. So I don't think that it's a well-meant motion. So I question the motivation for the motion.
Thanks, Aki. James McFadden, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was supposed to recognize Darlene in here. Not Darlene, I'm sorry. After Darlene is Sharon. Sorry, Sharon, it's your turn. I'll come back to you, James McFadden. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, my question is, the way this is set up, it's really because we're not having an election.
Correct.
And it like throws everyone into kind of a quandary because the LSBs are making decisions that are counter to the PNB's decision. So it's like, how do you move forward with that with any kind of consistency? In one place you're on because of certain things are happening, and another place you're off because of certain things are happening. And not only are you off, but your seat is not being replaced. So our members to the station who are donating their finances are not getting fully served because you have XYZ amount of empty seats that are not being replaced.
So actually, Sharon, I mean, you're raising a good point about LSBs making up their own rules, and that is actually going to be one of the next motions that we cover on the agenda. So your point is well taken, but I think it's not part of this particular motion, but I think it's the next one. Okay, so hold that thought and come back to it. James McFadden, do you want to?
So the reason that this motion is needed is because some LSBs may decide to not use the 2021 runner-up list should a vacancy appear and choose to try to appoint them only. And I have good reason to believe that that was the intent of some. And so this is just to clarify that we definitely are going to use the 2021 runner-up list for vacancies where somebody passes away or somebody resigns, you know, because they no longer can serve for whatever reason. So that's the only intent here, is just to clarify that so that no LSBs try to interpret and say, well, we're gonna appoint all the new replacement delegates, you know, with a vote of the majority of the LSB rather than using the runner-up list. It's just to clarify that. That's all it's for.
Got it. Thank you. So now the question is, I think we've exhausted the, go ahead, Ali. Your hand was up. Go ahead.
I have a quick question to anyone that wants to answer this. If this motion doesn't pass, someone passes away or resigns from one of the boards, wouldn't this be the process that would be used anyways?
One would hope.
Go ahead, Arthur.
I think it's a good motion because, as I said at the KPFK meeting, if you're saying that the terms ended, the language in the bylaws says vacancies can be filled in this way until the end of the term. And I was saying to the KPFK, if you're saying these people are termed out, then you can't fill their vacancies because you're saying they're filling something, some void. So I think this is good because it makes it clear the with the term extended, so does the language on filling vacancies.
I have just a quick question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. If there's no election, what does that mean? Because it's almost like you're like doing like a little yo-yoing back and forth there to clear things up. Now, we're supposed to be having an election. The election is not happening. So that to me means that everything is still working on a plane that existed before. But what I understand you're saying, Arthur, is no, it's not. Only certain things are working.
Well, we're going to have an election this year. We missed one election. So let's all be very optimistic. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an election in 2023 as early as possible. And so we've missed one already. It's like we can't do what we didn't do. So this is just to cover the current situation because different boards are doing different things. And it's created a lot of confusion. And
yes, yes, that's so true. It is creating a lot of confusion.
That's right. And so I think the spirit of this motion is to help clear up some of that confusion. What do you do if, you know, someone was at the end of, or would have been at the end of, their 3-year term and, you know, but the October 20th motion that we passed, says that person continues to serve until we hold another election. But if, what if that person decides partway through the year before we hold the election that they want to resign? You know, our bylaws don't specifically address that situation, right? In the same way that it doesn't address the situation of what do you do if you don't have enough money to hold an election? And so all we're really doing here is being super crystal clear. This is what you do in that particular instance. Mm-hmm. So, well, so there you have it.
My confusion came in with me being on the person continuing on this particular board and not on the in the other. That's where my confusion comes in, because it's almost like, you know, how are you really functioning as a representative and you have no voice over here, but you can speak on the other side?
Well, you can't be a director if you're not a delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So nobody got continued as a director. People got continued, if that's the right verb, as delegates. All the stations will hold in January. They will hold elections for the PMB directors. So nobody's continued as a director. Okay. Are there any objections to this motion?
Is that the motion to amend?
I thought we already passed the motion to amend and so that we were back to discussing the motion
okay, so
as amended.
I object.
Okay.
Apologies to James. I've been convinced by Aki and Ollie.
Okay. So we need to go to a roll call vote then. Aki, can you call the roll?
Can we just hear what we're voting on, if you don't mind?
Okay. How about if I just read the resolving clause? I think this is how it reads. One second. Be it resolved that all delegate vacancies per Article 4 delegates, Section 9 removal of delegates, paragraphs A through E, in 2023, follow the procedure in Article 4, Section 10, using the highest ranked candidate from the 2021 delegate election, and only in the event that list of 2021 runners-up is exhausted will the LSB resort to the appointment of a member of the appropriate class to serve as a delegate for the remainder of the term. Okay. That's the motion on the floor.
Chair, I have a question as the timekeeper.
Yes.
We've exhausted the stack. Are we running the clock again? And for how long?
Well, now we're at the vote, so I don't think you need to worry about that. We'll just start the next item when we finish the vote. All right. Can you do the roll call, please?
Sure. Chili salad?
Alan, I have a point of information before we start. This is a substitute or an amendment? No, this is that what I just read was James McFadden's motion as amended, and we're voting on that motion. It's not a substitute. It's been amended.
Okay. I say no.
Okay. Jim Jingman?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Vanessa?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Sue's yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather's yes. Donna Grimes? Donna? I'll get back to you. Judy? Oh, I'll get you next. Lydia Jones?
No.
The video is no. Okay. Ayodhaksa?
I'll abstain.
Okay, you abstain. Maria Martinez?
No.
Okay, Maria's no. James McFadden?
Yes.
James? Yes. James is yes. Darian Pagano?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean is yes. Jim Sagerton? Jim?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Sharon Salam?
Pass.
Okay, you pass. Aki Tanaka, I'm going to abstain. Mark?
Abstain.
Okay, Mark abstains. Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Beth is yes. Igbeda Willis?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Susan Young?
No.
Okay, Susan is no. I'll get back to Donna Grimes. Donna? Okay, I'm not getting it. Okay, so Sharon Salam, you passed?
Yes.
Okay, you say yes. Judy Hewitt?
I'll abstain.
Okay, you abstain. All right. Okay, so I have 9 yes, 4 no, and 6 abstentions.
So the motion carries. Next item up is what was number 5 on the original agenda. And this is a motion to affirm and assert the intent of the recent PNB resolutions regarding the 2022 Pacifica elections. Beth, would you like to?
Sure. Thank you. Before I begin, I wanted to catch one typo in the very first opening recital clause, the whereas clause. Between the word regular and elections, should insert the date 2022. I'll read from the top. Whereas recent PNB resolutions acknowledge the inherent conflict between the bylaws requirement to hold regular 2022 elections and the financial impossibility to do so, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB affirms and asserts the intent of recent PNB resolutions to resolve the dilemma by postponing elections until sufficient funding can be secured, with all delegates and runners-up, without exception, to remain in place until the next election, with any individual vacancies to be filled according to standard Pacifica protocol. Be it further resolved that as a committee of the PNB without authority to act autonomously or to overturn PNB resolution, all actions taken at the December 18, 2022 KPFK LSB meeting to alter the configuration or the composition of its LSB and to hold elections for the 2023 KPFK LSB officers are null and void. New nominations and elections for the 2023 KPFK LSB officers shall be held following restoration of the KPFK LSB composition to the status quo ante. The recent irregular election of a 2023 KPFK LSB treasurer is not recognized. Thank you. And this was...
hang on. Is there a second for Beth's motion?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. The intent is, as the title says, to affirm and assert recent resolutions because there seems to have been some confusion and various interpretations of it at the local level. And this is to try to assure that it's the intent of the of the PNB is clear and consistent and evenly applied, even-handedly throughout all LSBs, and not leaving individual LSBs to determine whether and how they want to apply these rules. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe, let me just go back and check and make sure this is a 20-minute item, Darlene.
Yes.
So, discussion on this item.
Chair, do you have a stack?
I don't have a stack. If you would like to speak, Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to suggest amending this motion with the same language that we just amended McFadden's motion, citing the Article 4, Section 9, paragraphs A through whatever it is. And if you'll give me a moment, I'll tell you exactly where I think that should be put. Bear with me. Getting there. Trying to do this on my phone. Okay, here we go. So this would go where she says, where Beth is saying, with any individual vacancies to be filled according to, instead of Pacifica Protocol, Pacifica Bylaws, Article 4, Section 9, paragraphs blank through blank, 1 through whatever
it is. A through E.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that would be per Article 4, Section 9, paragraphs A to E. Okay. Okay, so James, made an amendment to... Yeah, James, moved to amend. Is there a second to James' amendment?
Beth second.
Thank you, Beth. Okay. Any discussion of the motion to amend? Hearing none. Are there any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing none, the motion is amended. Okay, now is there any discussion of the main motion is amended? Go ahead, Ali.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the motion. I'm looking for the writing right now. Just give me 1 second, please.
It's number 5 on the agenda, the original agenda.
I haven't been able to find the agenda. I've been looking through all the emails from
Secretary. Hang on. I'll paste it in the chat here in a second.
I think I found it.
Okay.
Okay. You said it's number 5?
Yep.
Just opening it. Okay, so this motion is for the PNB to assert that the intent of our recent motions about term limits, et cetera, will be upheld, and that the actions taken on that date at that KPFK meeting will not be recognized, and the elections that were held on that date will be deemed out of order or illegitimate?
Correct.
And what happens afterwards? So would they have to have another meeting, reseat the people they unseated, and then move forward with their officers' elections and so forth?
Go ahead, Beth.
The recent changes to the KPFK LSB, this motion would render them null and void, which is to say it would be as if they never happened. And so at the next meeting, the original members, the original roster, including the three that were removed and excluding those that were used to replace them, would be restored, and the LSB would move forward from that point. And the motion itself says that there would be new nominations and elections for 2023 KPFK LSB officers. Yeah. That would be my understanding of what should happen once this passes.
Thank you.
Vanessa, then Susan. Vanessa?
So I will be voting against the motion in general, and I'd say 99.9% of the time, or at least certainly the majority, LSBs have an obligation to follow PNB directives. However, there's that 1% of the time where if the PNB gets it wrong, then the LSBs have an obligation to follow the bylaws. The bylaw, in this instance, with regard to extension of 6-year term, could not be more clear. As muddy, muddled, and unclear and inconsistent as those bylaws sometimes are, it is clear, very clear about that one thing. Thou shalt not exceed 6-year term. And so I believe that this LSB, in this instance, this particular instance, stood up for the bylaws, and did what they thought was necessary in order to abide by the bylaws by which we are all governed. So I'll be voting against it.
Susan Young, then Jim Dingman. Susan?
Thank you. I think that Beth's motion does a couple of very important things. One is that it states it reaffirms the PNB's thrice voted decision about terms, drawing on Arthur's recommendations and by substantial majority, so I appreciate that. Also makes clear that the treasurer election is essentially not valid. I would suggest that the motion that comes up next is in large part additive because of several things. One, it brings in Article 7, and I think it's very important that Article 7 be a part of the whereases, and Article 7 has been invoked in the past, as was pointed out to me by James Sagerton. And this is the appropriate instance in which the PNB is the decider and gets to rescind actions taken by an LSB that are in contravention of what the PNB's decisions are. But the motion that's coming up next also has follow through. It has what has to happen next, and if it doesn't happen, what the consequences are. So I believe that it adds specificity and teeth to what Beth has brought forward as her motion.
Can I just ask one clarifying question, Susan? So when you say additive, you're basically saying that, in your opinion, there's nothing wrong with passing both motions.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that it might be the case that there are some whereas clauses that get removed because Beth stated them more succinctly. But I think basically the two do not conflict and they add to each other. Yes, can both be passed.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Jim Dingman, then Arthur. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. I'm going to take a different tack on this. Obviously, there are pros and cons for both having people term out and having people stay in place. The key reasons were the financial issues. At least that's how it has been presented thus far. And also,
point of personal privilege. I think I couldn't hear. I would ask that Mr. Dingman start again because I think he was inaudible for a time, and I'd really like to hear everything he has to say. Thank you.
If you wouldn't mind, Jim, go ahead.
Well, you couldn't hear me. Oh well, maybe that's better. All right. Look, I take a different approach. It simply is that this is about balance of power. Balance of power over who is going to decide what kind of radio philosophy should predominate in trying to fight our way through this situation we're in. I've done the calculations. All of us have done the calculations of the pros and cons of each of these alternatives. And obviously some want to preserve a certain radio philosophy that, in my opinion, has not worked successfully for the past couple of decades. Others have another philosophy that they want to implement that has other problems with it. So again, our attention is taken away from the key problem, which is how to turn the stations around, period, let alone be bickering about who's going to be here, who's going to be there in the midst of commanding a sandcastle in the wave of a tsunami. That's what I find so objectionable about this whole debate about this. Thank you.
Arthur, then Beth.
I just want to say something that I said at the KPFK meeting and that I said before. If you want to be a streeter of the bylaws, it says the vacancy procedure is to fill the unexpired terms of people who leave, right? So if you want to take the position that their terms ended, then what KPFK did, you may say someone just said it was in line with the bylaws. They filled expired terms by their own decision with people. But if the term was expired and you want to follow the exact words of the bylaws, they couldn't fill them. They should have left it vacant. So it is not, it wasn't, I don't think it was so much an act of clarity as opposed to a political move. I can't figure out the personalities and who was trying to accomplish what, but, it had nothing to do with any reading of the bylaws. It was just to move new people onto the board and then, you know, get new people in office there. That's my opinion.
Beth and Darlene, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. I acknowledge in the opening clause that we are bound between two conflicting imperatives, one to hold elections this past year and the conflicting imperative that there was not money to do it. And I would make the case that we're none of us in a position to cherry pick the bylaws. No single line in the bylaws exists in a vacuum or by itself. It exists within the context of the entire set of bylaws and specifically the article and section regarding elections. And drafters of the bylaws failed to anticipate this eventuality or to provide for what we should do if we were to encounter it. And so it falls to those of us on the PNB to find the best way forward, the most even-handed way forward. And my intent in this is to treat all terms evenly. I think if we freeze some positions and let others move ahead, that destabilizes the board and reconfigures them other than as the most recently expressed preference of the voters has made clear. I think we should preserve that expression of the voters' preference until we can obtain a new outcome of a new election. And I am doing my best to resist any given faction putting a thumb on the scale on either side of this debate. And we can see this working out differently at different
LSBs, depending on
who predominates. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. This is intended to be neutral and even-handed and fair. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Darlene, then Susan. Go ahead, Darlene.
Again, I'll reiterate what Beth said. This is not about, this is as a situation because of money, not because of who's grabbing power, whose faction's moving forward, whatever. There is no money. And again, I'm glad Beth brought this up because I've been holding on to it. There's nothing in the bylaws about this. You can't call on the bylaws for this. There's nothing in the bylaws to say what happens when the Pacifica Foundation is in financial free fall and we can't hold an election. So you cannot call on the bylaws for this. The writers of the bylaws, it was a different time, it was different money. They never imagined this situation. Can't afford an election. But it is the responsibility of the PNB to work out how closely we can hold to what we think the right thing to do is. And we are the fiduciary, we are the people financially responsible. It's why Susan Young keeps paying the directors and officers bills, because we're the ones responsible. And not the LSBs. So if we come to agreement among ourselves, or at least, you know, I'm afraid I shouldn't have used the word agreement quite.
Darlene, your time is up.
We're in the right, and we need to act like it.
Thanks, Darlene. Susan?
I call the question.
All right. Are there any objections to calling the question? All right. Hearing none. We're going on to a vote then of,
are there any objections to the motion?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Aki, would you, okay, so this is the motion, let me be clear. This is the motion as amended because I believe we added something, did we, James? No.
Yes.
Yes, we did. We added the same Article 7, Section 9, no.
Article 4, Section 9, yeah.
Article 4, Section 9, thank you. Okay, got it. So the motion, the original motion was amended, and now we are voting on that motion. And Aki, can you take a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Teresa Aaron?
Alan says yes.
Yeah, Teresa says yes. Jim Dingman?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Vanessa?
No.
Vanessa is no. Sue Goodwin? Sue? Okay, let me get back to you. Heather Gray? Heather?
Yes.
Yeah, Heather is yes. Donna Grimes? Donna?
Abstain. Abstain.
Okay, got it. Evadia Jones?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Ari Raksa?
Yes.
Ari is yes. Maria Martinez?
Yes.
Maria is yes. James McCracken?
Yes.
McCracken is yes. Darlene Pagano? Darlene?
Pass.
Yeah. Darlene is yes. Okay, got it. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
Okay, Sean abstains. Jim Sagerton?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Sharon Saron?
No.
Sharon is no. Okay. Aki votes yes. Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Beth Van Gutten?
Yes.
Yeah, Beth, yeah. Igberto Willis?
Yes.
Igberto is yes. Okay. Susan Young?
Yes.
Susan is yes. Let me get back to, Sue Goodman. Okay, I don't hear you. And then, let's see, Judy Hewitt?
I'll abstain.
You abstain? All right. So,
okay.
Yes.
Come back to me.
Darlene. Oh, Darlene. Okay, what do you say, Darlene?
Yes.
Darlene is yes, okay. All right, so. Fourteen yes, two no, and three abstentions. I don't have a vote for us, a good one. All right.
Okay, so that motion passes. That brings us to what was item six on the original agenda. and that is a motion from Susan Young. Susan, would you like to read it?
Yes. Giving that the best shot I can. Hang on here for a minute. Okay. Motion is, whereas the Pacifica National Board thoroughly explored options for addressing term limits in the context of the delegate elections not being held in 2022, announced as such due to exigent circumstances, and voted on October 20th, 2022 to extend term limits until the next election for delegates at the end of six-year terms, confirmed this decision in two subsequent votes, and communicated the decision about these term extensions in writing to all five stations. The KPFK LSB met on December 18th, 2022, and took actions that directly contradicted the Pacifica National Board decision, including removing three delegates with six-year terms, Sandy Childs, Ali Lexa, Barbara Marbach, and replacing them with persons on the alternates list who had not been elected. The KPFK LSB at its meeting on December 18th, without valid LSB membership, by excluding three eligible members, including three persons not eligible for LSB membership, conducted improper nominations for officers and initiated the remote balloting process. Pacifica bylaws, Article 7, Section 4, other local station board powers and authority provide. By resolution, the foundation's board of directors may delegate any corporate powers it deems appropriate to an LSB with regard to that specific radio station. Any such power delegated to an LSB is subject to revocation at any time by the board of directors, and any and all actions, resolutions, and policies taken or adopted by an LSB may be overridden by a majority of the directors if said action, resolution, or policy is found by the board of directors to be adverse to the mission and or charitable or business purposes of the foundation, to exceed the power or authority granted to said LSB, or to be inconsistent with these bylaws, the articles, or applicable laws and regulations. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the meeting of KPFK LSB held on December 18th, 2022 was not a valid meeting because the LSB was not properly constituted due to the removal of three members with six-year terms and the illegal seating of three alternates who were not elected in contravention of the decision by the Pacifica National Board, and that all actions taken at that meeting are declared null and void, including the nomination of candidates for offices and authorization of the distribution of ballots. The directors validly elected by the KPFK LSB, and this is directors, the PNB members, in 2022 to serve on the Pacifica National Board will continue to serve in their capacities as directors until a valid election for 2023 directors has been conducted by the properly constituted KPFK LSB as recognized by the Pacifica National Board, and properly elected directors are seated by the Pacifica National Board. Those persons supporting these actions are called upon to immediately remedy their defiance of the stated Pacifica National Board decision regarding extending terms, term limits for 6-year terms, and reconduct the business on its agenda for December 18th with the LSB restored to its proper composition. KPFK LSB members who fail to cure the actions invalidated by the Pacifica National Board will be subject to disciplinary actions as warranted. And these procedures will pertain to any local station board acting in defiance of the Pacifica National Board decision to extend 6-year term limits until the next election of delegates.